In the 17th century, French policy is most evident, for example, in the support given to Protestant Sweden and to North German states in their battles during the so-called 30 Years' War in Germany against the Austrian Habsburgs. Now, the French were Catholics. You might have thought that they'd have lent support to the Catholic Habsburgs to suppress Protestant Northern Germany. Oh, no. The French interest was to weaken the Habsburgs, so they lent support to Protestant enemies in North Germany of Catholic Austria. Likewise, for example, when the Netherlands rebelled against Spain, the southern Netherlands, you remember, were largely Catholic, generally loyal, basically what we think of as Belgium. But the northern Netherlands, what we think of today as Holland or the Netherlands, strictly speaking, were Calvinists. They chafed under Spanish authority. They rebelled against the Spanish, and the French assisted the Dutch. Now, again, we might have thought, well, the Catholic French should have aided their Catholic Spanish brethren, you know, to suppress these rebellious Calvinist Dutchmen. No, no. The French wanted to weaken the Spanish Habsburgs. So we're beginning to see a kind of diplomacy that is based upon the very careful calculation of interests. Now, this can sometimes encounter the naivete of modern peoples. There was, for example, the situation in recent times when Charles de Gaulle pulled France out of NATO. And people said, "You're abandoning your friends." And in his haughty sort of way, de Gaulle says, "France has no friends, France has interests." Well, that kind of diplomacy, maybe we could call it Machiavellian, a kind of diplomacy that simply grapples with the world the way it really is and brutally, roughly calculates interests. Now, the Spanish, to be sure, saw themselves in some ways as the protectors and saviors of Catholic Europe, even though Catholic France opposed them mightily. So, for example, the Spanish put together a great naval force that fought and defeated the Turks. No small thing, this, at the Battle of Lepanto in the Eastern Mediterranean in 1571. One of the sailors in those Spanish ships at Lepanto was a man named Miguel de Cervantes, of whom we would hear something as an author later on, the author of Don Quixote. In 1588, the Spanish launched the Invincible Armada, an enormous naval fleet designed to conquer Protestant England and to restore the true faith there. The Armada, for lots of reasons, which would be very interesting to pursue, though we haven't time to do so here, was defeated. But for the next several decades, over much of the globe, the Spanish and the English navies combated each other. The period also saw an escalation of colonial rivalries. For example, by the time the 17th century dawns, both France and England begin to build overseas empires in North America. Now, we saw before that they had made the first faint stirrings in this direction at the end of the 15th century, but then for a long time were distracted by other concerns. Now, when the English and the French began to build their realms in North America, they were looking for the Northwest Passage to Asia, trying to find a way to get to the east by going west. Partly, they were entering lands that, after all, had been left free by the Spanish. The Spanish had taken most of the southern regions of what would later become the United States, had taken Central America, taken South America. The English and the French went north. Partly, also, they were combating each other as religious rivals, the English Protestant, the French Catholic. The Dutch, once freed of Spanish dominance, began themselves to build a colonial regime. The Dutch regime was built very much more like the Portuguese, however, than like the Spanish. That is to say, the Dutch created a series of trading stations in the Indian Ocean Basin and in the South China Sea, and also, eventually, in the Americas. Now, the Dutch and the English, although both Protestant states, with natural foes, we might have thought, in France and in Spain, actually fought a bloody series of wars with one another, occasioned by their competing economic interests around the world. Now, just very briefly, we might say that at the end of the 17th century, the Russia of Peter the Great began to enter the picture as another key player on the Western, on the European stage. We don't really have time to pursue the ins and outs of Russian history here. But let us say that by 1700, so we can just put Peter the Great and his Russia into the picture, two great patterns are evident. The first,